It is 6:32 here on The Ticket. Coming up at 6:55, David Moore with the Ranch Report. He was in Miami last night for the Cowboys and Dolphins game. We'll talk to him about what we saw and didn't see in that farce coming up here in about 20 minutes. But first, it's the Observation Deck with Gordon, brought to us by McDonald's, Man's Best Friend, Baker Brothers Plumbing, and TexasLending.com.
Thank you so much, Miller Man. Well, this is a very special Observation Deck. We don't normally have in-studio guests during the ODEC, but today we're going to have Glenn Beck. And when we announced that we were going to have Glenn Beck in studio, the reaction was very divided. It's so funny how these are all people who like our show, but yet some of them responding, how dare you have that blowhard on, you know, and then other people saying, oh, this is great. My two favorite shows coming together.
What, doing seems, what?
It's about time you got...
I just mentioned blowhard and coming together in the same paragraph.
Yeah, they'll say about time you have someone who knows what they're talking about on your show.
Right.
You guys are so clueless.
Well, I was mentioning people that actually liked us, George. But you went a different way with it.
Sorry.
Indeed.
So he's a very polarizing figure, and he's even polarizing here in on this show, because we sat here and debated a little bit earlier in the program whether he's doing a bit or not. When he's crying and he's... Yeah, come on in.
Hey.
There he is, right there.
Hey.
My goodness. All right. Hi, Glenn. Sit down over there.
I've been warned by
no person.
Who's warned you? Who's warned you about us?
I've been warned by, like, when I have New Yorkers write me going, that's a tough room, man.
Oh, please.
We're in easy room. All right, you recognize that voice. That's Glenn Beck. He's arrived in studio. And I got to say, my first impression of seeing you in person, you're thinner than I thought you were.
Yeah, it starts with he's hitting on.
No, I'm not hitting on you.
Yes.
I mean, I would have sex with you, but I'm not hitting on you. No, are you doing some sort of program? Or you...
No, television is horrible. Horrible to you. It makes you look a lot fatter than you are and a lot older than you are. And I had lost weight, and then I came to Dallas, and I've been eating McGriddles like crazy.
Oh, no. All right, let's start with that. Your move to Texas.
Yeah.
What made you decide to move here? You worked into radio in Texas early on in your career.
Let's not bring that up. Yeah.
Oh, it's painful?
Painful. Very, very, very painful memory.
Why did you decide to move?
Because I really think... I was here about 5 years ago. First of all, I mean, I really love Texas. When I lived here, when I first moved here, typical Yankee, I came down here and I'm like, come on, Texas. You know, stop with the, you know, the Texas secede and all that stuff. And then I was here for about 6 months. I put one on my bumpers, on my back of my car. The people of Texas I really like because they don't hate other states. They just think Texas.
Yeah, right? Texas is the best.
Oh, that's great. That's great. I mean, you're lying when you say it about New Jersey or New York. It's a great state. It's just not Texas. It's a great attitude. When I was here about 5 years ago, the Texans were ahead of everybody else. They knew trouble was coming because they hadn't forgotten a republic. And I went back and I said, something's brewing in the country, and it's going to be in, there's trouble, and Texans are going to lead. And now I really truly believe Texans are leading the way out.
Just follow Rick Perry's hair.
Just follow
that.
It doesn't have to be Rick Perry.
What do you think of Rick Perry, by the way? You like him?
Yeah, I like him.
Ooh, a very lukewarm endorsement there.
I'm not sure. I don't trust any politician at all.
Right.
What I know about Rick, I like. I've had some questions on some of the things that he's done in the past, but he seems to be getting it. I just don't trust any of them.
So are you building a house here? Are you just going to buy an existing house? Are you going to build your studio at home, or are you going to...
We're building a studio now. I have to make a decision on either the building of the land here in the next 10 days. But we're building an entertainment complex. We're building a large place.
Wow.
Radio, stage, television. Everything.
Can we come hang out there?
You hang out anytime you want.
There's no way.
It could also be a theme park. Kind of an amusement park.
Theme park, yeah.
All right, so we're going over your biography before you came in here. In very hasty show prep that we were doing. And looking at all the things you do, you've had, like, what, 6 number one New York Times bestsellers. You've done a live show, like stage show. You've done, of course, television and radio. Mm-hmm. And you've become this big entertainment giant.
That's how desperate the country is for entertainment.
but we get to debating this, and I know a lot of people debated this about you, because you have a love of comedy and performing and showmanship and all that sort of thing. And then sometimes you go off on rants where everyone just says, man, Glenn Beck is effing nuts. This guy's crazy. he's off the deep end.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm of the opinion that, and I want to play this clip for you and get the behind the scenes on it. But this
do
is
I have to listen to it.
Yes, you have to listen to it.
I have to listen to it.
See if those headphones work over there. Do those not work?
I think
here?
The
oh, here.
Here,
turn them on.
All right,
volume control under there.
Now this is when a woman called into your show and was, you know, got into it with you, and this is your response.
Janine, I'm giving you a logical answer.
You don't have logic.
You're right.
Where's your logic? What would you do? I'm asking you, what would you do to change this health care system for the better? After all, every time you people bring up costs, you don't care about the trillions of dollars to bail out the banks and all the credit card companies.
Kathy, get off my phone! Get off my phone, you little pinhead!
Well, here comes the best part.
I don't care! You people don't care about the trillions. Get off my phone! I'm going to lose my mind today.
Okay. All right. Come on. Come on. That
you
is
never
funny.
Wanted oh, no, we lose
to do
it all
that.
The time.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Every day.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we lose it all
There's
the time.
There's just so much you can take. Look, right. I absolutely believe in what I say. I believe it. I mean, I was just having a conversation. This is my fun. While you guys were laughing and yucking it up about sports, I heard. You know what I was doing? I was reading about what's happening in Poland right now, what's happening with the new Black Panthers, where they're teaching kids to behead people. I mean, on videotape.
Okay, but when you're responding to that woman, you're hamming it up a little bit for fun. You're busting up your crew, right?
I lost it with this one.
Really?
Yeah, because you get... Look, I believe in what I say, so I'm really trying to do the right thing. I'm also trying to balance entertainment and everything else, which is not easy. Nobody's ever done this before.
Told you, so Gordo. He thought you were doing a bit.
Yeah, I thought you
no,
were... I mean, I think you
mind.
Have genuine emotion on that, but I think that you... Are also, you know,
no, I
selling
lost
it
my
a
mind
little bit.
I lost my mind. Yeah. No, there's only so much you can take.
Right.
You know, when you're like, you got to be kidding me. Yeah. And what set me off, I remember it, what set me off was you people.
Mm-hmm.
You people. Really, who are you people exactly?
Right.
You know, you just can't take it.
Visiting with Glenn Beck in studio, I tell you, you have a pretty fascinating life story, too. A lot of people may not know about some of your past. Your mother's suicide when you were young. You were, what, 15?
Mm-hmm.
Alcoholism, drug addiction that you battled and overcame.
This is not
this
good
is, this is all fun.
Steve.
This is all fun stuff, right?
See, he builds you up by telling you that he's attracted to you.
Yeah.
And then he lays
I'm not dating you. I'm not sleeping with you. I'm not dating with you. I'm not going for drinks.
Converted to Mormonism. Yeah. Adopted a child.
Yeah.
I mean, you have a lot of interesting stuff in your past, and... I think that a lot of people look at you and they either hate you or love you, and you become this two-dimensional figure that's just something that they can reflect their own either paranoia or their own hatred off of.
I try not to do that to other people, and I have been guilty of that. I mean, look, I got into radio when I was 13 years old. I've done this my whole life. I've never cared about anything up until about 1995. It was all about me. It was all about stuff. It was all about success. By the way, how's your Marconi?
Oh, it's good. It's doing well. Yeah. We only got one. How many do you got?
I've got one.
Oh,
we're
all
tied.
Right. Tied.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's we've got one as a show or station.
yeah. So anyway, it was all about that crap. And then I sobered up, and then September 11th happened. And even after September 11th, I really thought we would go back to a normal society. I really did. I thought we'd go back to the normal America, and, you know, this is just a bump in the road and everything else. Then it really started to dawn on me, no, we've got hard work to do. I've made so many mistakes in my past. I'm trying to correct them, and I still make them every single day. I still do. You guys do. Everybody does. And yet, you can't, in this, there's a system in this country that is different than what America has always been. And that is, somebody gets an opportunity to be themselves, do their thing, without being crushed by the system. The system's crushing. I've been part of the system where I've just been looking at people and seeing them on the surface and saying, oh, yeah, I know who they are. You people. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Got to stop doing that. We've got to stop doing that because times have changed. And more people, with what they've had in their past, give them the opportunity to wake up. Give Rick Perry the opportunity to say, you know what? Yeah, I did think that before, but I don't anymore because I'm awake. I see what's going on.
So it's okay for people to change their mind and to grow?
Absolutely.
Or is that just flip-flop?
No, it's flip-flopping if you don't know. Like, for instance, Romney, who I'm not a fan of, but Romney is a guy who is accused of flip-flopping on abortion. Before I had him on the air, I said to my audience, I'm a big guy in pivot points. I can tell you where I was, what time of day it was when I realized I have to stop drinking. When you make a big policy decision, or you make a big life decision, and you flip from one side to the other, you better be able to tell me exactly when it was, where it was. And I said to the audience, this guy's a flip-flopper, unless he can tell me the pivot point. Where was he? Got him on the air. I said, where were you when you decided that abortion was wrong? Because that's a pretty big deal. He could tell me the time of day. Knew exactly when it was, where it was, et cetera, et cetera. Had a great, great pivot point. On healthcare, not so much. So I don't give him the benefit of the doubt on healthcare. I do on the abortion thing.
Do you give Obama any sort of benefit of the doubt, or you think he's taking us to hell in a handbasket?
That's two separate questions. Do I give him the benefit of the
first
doubt?
One. Yeah,
I think he's a brilliant guy. He's not a bumbling idiot. I think he's the best speech giver we've ever had. He's inspirational to a lot of people.
He's Kenyan. Come on, say it.
Yeah, so I can have you play that over and over again. On the other hand, he's taking us to hell. I don't think the country will last another 4 years with him.
Is he a one-termer?
Strangely, I don't think so.
Really?
Yeah. I think that there's too many balls up in the air right now. Too many things that can happen. I think the people that... people like Van Jones and people on the uber left are kind of the abusive boyfriend. If I can't have you, no one will.
Yeah, that's the way I feel.
Yeah, they'll about me again or
you specifically now, but women in the past.
You know, I think they'll just rip us apart. I think they'll rip us apart if they start to lose, and that will cause the theory that he operates under is. Top down, bottom up, inside out, which means get the people in the bottom to rise up and beg for the top to come down and put the screws to society to hold everything together. I think that's what he's going to do.
We're visiting with Glenn Beck in studio. Do you like John Stewart's impersonation of you? I mean, do you look at that and go, that's...
Only seen it once. Stop watching that stuff.
You don't like John Stewart?
No. I think Jon Stewart's funny. There's only so much when, you know, the thing that pushed me over the edge was Washington with Jon Stewart. That was such a...
That was when you were having the rally.
Yeah.
It
was meaningful. It was thoughtful. It changed a lot of people's lives. It was not about politics. And I got hammered for months and months and months. Everything they said about it was wrong. Nobody ever recognized in the press that it was wrong. They immediately tried to smear it. And then for Jon Stewart to go out and mock what we did for political reasons, I thought it was unbelievable. You live in a society like that. I mean, and the people who were there didn't really know why they were there. They're not paying attention enough. My daughter is in college, and one of her friends who... you know, lives in the dorm came over and said, we're going to go to the Stewart rally. And she looked at him and she said, are you out of your mind, stupid? Or are you just plain stupid? It's like, do you know what that's about? That's about my dad. And he said, oh, no, it's just, come on, it's just going to be some bands and, you know, Jon Stewart's going to be there. And she's like, I don't think I'm going, dummy. You know, and they're using people. Useful idiots.
But some people would say that you're doing that, Glenn, that you take, you know, people's kind of vague fears and paranoia and you don't really provide a solution to it. You just gin it up in order to get ratings and monetize it.
Tell me what happened in Israel. I was just in Israel. Was that not a solution?
You talk about dummies. Look who you're looking at, right?
No,
we have no idea what
nobody,
you're talking about.
Nobody's reporting on that. When I got on the plane out of Israel, I had to leave the stage, get onto a plane. An hour later, I land in Egypt. I hit refresh, see what the press has written. 347 stories on that. Not one quoted a word of what I said. Not one. I got off the ground, landed in South Africa. I did an interview with the Meet the Press there. 30-minute interview, just me and the host. Not one question on what I was doing in Israel. It was all about, so, you're just doing this for money. You're just doing this. I finally said to the guy, that's amazing. Are you listening to what you're doing? You haven't even asked me, why are you in South Africa? Why were you in Israel? Why are you going to Venezuela tomorrow? Not even a single question. It's amazing what's happening in our society.
You feel under attack? I mean, do you feel like the media is gunning for you?
I think anybody who is fighting for freedom is under attack. I think Texas is going to come under attack. If you know enough history, they have to blame somebody. And the next step, and I don't know when it is, but the next step in American history with Texas is that the states like New York begin to say to companies like mine, you can't move to Texas because you're going to hurt us. And then they start to turn on Texas and say, Texas is hurting us. You've got to start taxing Texans more. You've got to start taxing companies that want to go into Texas. They can't do that because they're hurting the rest of the states. When California begins to really collapse, look out, Texas. Look out. When New York can't pay for it, look out, Texas, because they're going to come after you. We're all
going to kill us all. What's going to happen, Glenn? Tell us.
I tell you what, buy my book. $45. I'll tell you all about it.
All we have are horses to defend ourselves. We can't handle attacks.
Was it easy to sell the wife on the move to Texas?
Surprisingly, yes. We live in New York City, and she hates New York City.
Really?
She was not looking for. She's an East Coast person. Mm-hmm. She was not looking forward to living this far away. I can't get her out. I can't get her on the plane. She's not coming back with me. I'm really going back Monday. She's like,
she's staying here.
Yeah,
have
a good time. See you later. See you later.
Now, do you live in kind of a prison because of all the people that you're scared are going to attack you and things like this? I mean, do you
hearing this? Are you hearing the way this is?
I mean, I hear it. Can Glenn Beck put on like a, I don't know, like a Yahoo Serious wig or
I went
a carrot
out to
top
Kroger
wig
last night?
Did you really?
Yep. Went out to Kroger last night.
Just going shopping.
Yep. Went shopping. Had my daughter with me, and I got in the car, and I said, "This is great." I said, "Nobody even looked at me."
Is that different in New York? When you're in New York, it's...
Yeah. I think, you know, I was wearing a ball cap, and I don't think anybody expects Glenn Beck to be walking around in Kroger wearing shorts.
And what did you have on, your
Ranger
grocery
guest?
Yeah. What were you buying?
Bought some chilies, some tomatoes, some chips, making some salsa.
Mangoes. You cook? Do you cook, or does she cook?
A little bit. Oh. Yeah, my wife generally cooks.
Well, that'd be interesting to see. Go out with Glenn Beck for a day with a hidden camera and see how many people come up and bug him here in Texas.
Yeah, we're going to start hanging out with you now that you're in Texas.
Nobody bugged me. You know what? I was at a place called the Feed Store last time I was in town about a month ago. It was great. I'm sitting down, and there's this whole table of people, and they're kind of looking at me and stuff. And finally, one of them comes over and said, you Glenn Beck? And I said, yeah. And they said, we're a Sunday school class? And it was Saturday night, and we're just getting ready. We just wanted to go out and have some dinner together, and you want to come and have some dessert with us afterwards? I mean, I was bummed. I was bummed that I couldn't go. The Texans are completely different.
Aren't we the best? We're so much
Texans
best.
Are the best.
You're also handsome, and
you're not
brawny.
Right. See, it wasn't that bad, was it?
Easy.
This room. This was not a room of
pain.
This
is a trick. It's not a trick.
No, it's not a trick. We're glad that you came down here. It was cool to have you on.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for coming by.
Yeah, come down again sometime. You're going to be in town now.
This will be his only trip.
Ending the same way it started. Come on out. You know, maybe later tonight we'll catch a movie. Yeah,
just the two of us.
All right, Glenn Beck, thank you. Thanks, good luck to you. That's the great Glenn Beck with us here on the Dunham and Miller Show. It's 6:51 on the ticket.